This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's do this. It's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Top Ranger story just like that. The exhibition season spring training is over. They lost to the Royals 3-1 this afternoon. We watched it in studio as Jared Sandler was out there at the Globe, and Sands joins us now here in the G-Bag Nation, brought to you by Advanced Hair Restoration. Go to advancedhair.com. How we doing, Jared?
Oh, yeah.
Guys, great, but just, you know, tough one. You hate to lose the last game of any season, and to lose the last game of the exhibition season, going to be a tough one to swallow.
I'm glad you can acknowledge that today, Jared, especially with DeGrom looking as bad as he did.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, he obviously was dominant teams, and you know, you and I were texting a little bit, Gavin, about the velocity, and he seems to want to go into the season throwing 96-97 to save a little bit of juice. And, you know, there's data out there that shows that with each mile an hour harder you throw, slugging percentage drops. So it's more of an old school mindset, not, you know, putting your foot fully on the pedal. And I guess, you know, given his physical situation, maybe it makes sense. I'm curious, though, when the games start to count, how things look. You know, does he dial it up to 98, 99, 100 a little bit more than maybe what he's suggesting? But, yeah, I mean, you know, today he looked okay, and he got through four innings. And, you know, if it wasn't for Salvador Perez, I guess he'd look a little bit better. But he definitely didn't look like a dominant version of Jacob deGrom. And so we'll have to wait and see what the new post-second TJ Jacob deGrom looks like. I know we saw a little bit of it last year, but hopefully for a full season, that that journey for him will likely begin Sunday. I know the initial plans were for him to start the fifth game, but now it appears that he's going to start the fourth game, which is Sunday at home against Boston.
Okay, so for Kamar Rocker, he comes in after Jacob deGrom. 8 Ks for him, but 3 walks. And O'Brien was yelling that he couldn't find the strike zone for a period there. What were your takeaways from Kamar Rocker? And is the plan still for him then to go after deGrom? Would he be the fifth starter in the rotation?
Yeah, so he obviously found out, as was reported earlier, he made the team. And I don't know how long he'll stay up. I mean, he could stay up all year, but you know, Patrick Corbin will be in the rotation when he's ready. He's obviously not ready just yet. But, yeah, I think the plan is for him to go Monday. And Brian's right. You know, that first inning, first two innings, you know, he really wasn't throwing a whole lot of strikes, but he was, I guess, effectively wild. And then, you know, he did kind of rein it in a bit. And, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, 4 scoreless, 8 strikeouts is great. You know, he was facing the back half, or he pitched kind of the back half of the game. So you know, he was facing more of the second unit for the Royals, but he was good. And the one thing that, you know, we were talking about earlier, if he's going to face Cincinnati, or really, I mean, if he's going to face Boston, both those teams are athletic teams. They like to be active on the bases. And Kamar Rocker is going to have to not only demonstrate an ability to get big league hitters out, but he's got to show that he can control the running game a little bit. He gave up 5 steals against Colorado, a couple more, I think, here today. And in the regular season, that's going to hurt much more than it does in spring training. In spring training, it's like, whatever, you know, it is what it is. But, that's going to be something that we'll be watching for, certainly on Monday against the Reds. Now, if he throws a perfect game, then, you know, it doesn't really matter. And maybe he just does that every 5 days, and that will answer all our questions. But short of that, he's going to have to figure out how to not only, you know, be able to maintain focus in getting the batter out, but do so without totally ignoring anyone on base. I'm sure that's something that will come. That's not a major concern, but maybe just more of an immediate future concern for Rock. But, it'll be exciting to see him throw on Monday, and hopefully that command and that control ticks up a notch as well, because Brian's not wrong. It did seem like he was spraying pitches early, maybe getting away with some stuff, so that's going to have to improve once we get into the regular season.
Jared, I was trying to kind of figure out the thing with DeGrom. Do you think it has something to do with potential early season weather in Cincinnati, that maybe you have some games that are going to be in the low 50s and rain potentially for those games, that you don't want to have him get ready for that? And maybe in a controlled environment, you know, at our stadium here, he can know he can go out there and pitch and get what he needs done.
Yeah. You know, we had talked about that, and the counter to that, Brian, as well, you know, he pitched for the Mets and he's used to it, but then the counter to that counter, more in line with what you're suggesting, is, yeah, that's cool, that's great. I lived in Michigan, and I lived in, like, sub-zero temperatures. Doesn't mean, like, I'm...
Yeah.
And for a guy coming off his second Tommy John, there's, you know, if you can avoid that, great. Now, you know, the problem is you're probably not going to be able to avoid it for long, because if you look at the April schedule, they're going to be in some colder climates, Chicago, Seattle, and maybe they are able to kind of dodge that, you know, as much. Yeah, I think that makes perfect sense, Brian. I mean, why? And also, I don't know, to whatever degree this is a thing, like, I think it's cool that his first start's going to be at home. I think, the home crowd's going to enjoy that. Obviously, once you're within the flow of the season, you don't need to manipulate it in that way. But, you have the ability to do it now. And I think having Jacob DeGrom start at home is fun. And, I don't know if that, like, the joy of it had anything to do with it. But, yeah, pitching in a controlled climate, I think, definitely is a plus and makes his second start, I believe, would also be at home after that brief road trip against Cincinnati. So I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe that will allow the first few starts to be, you know, home turf.
Current G-Bag of the Day champion Jared Sandler with us here in the G-Bag Nation.
What'd I say?
I think you were just talking about...
Oh, the 12 inches.
Talking about,
we're talking about how much you
sausage,
can take.
How many sausage
could
you take, Jared? Boomsticks, mm-hmm. And inches and stuff. Painted quite the picture. Now, if I had like a magic genie, you have one baseball wish, and you get to have somebody in this year's lineup revert back to their 2023 dominance. Somebody is going to, at the snap of their fingers, return back to the height of their powers. Who in the lineup would you most want that guy to be?
Yeah, I mean, it's Adolis for me. And, you know, it's just because when he is going the way he went in 2023, you've got a built-in hot streak just because of him 2 or 3 times a year for, you know, a 10-day stretch. And he's going to be productive outside of that, obviously. But, I mean, this guy just can put a team on his back. I mean, we refer to guys like him sometimes as aircraft carriers, the way that, you know, they're able to shoulder the load. And I just think that the way he can impact a lineup is a little bit greater. It's not to say that Marcus Semien doesn't have the ability to be a really good hitter. He absolutely does. I just think that what Adolis did in 23 and what he didn't do last year was felt heavily, more so than maybe the fluctuation you got from Marcus Semien. And then you guys talked about Jonah Heim yesterday. I think the insurance of Kyle Higashioka, who might end up being 1A to Jonah's 1B, or maybe Jonah's 1A to 1B, whatever the case. I'd like the depth that the Rangers have there, And I don't know that the upside is as strong, for Jonah as it would be for Marcus or Adolis as a hitter. But I think a middle of the order impact bat like Adolis. And the other thing, if I may cheat a little bit with this, I'm going to also include that going along with that is health for Adolis. And that not only means that Adolis is going to return to form offensively, but hopefully return to form defensively, because the 2023 Adolis Garcia was a Gold Glove outfielder. The 2024 Adolis Garcia defensively, I don't want to say it was a liability, but he was not a positive impact player. And the Rangers would really benefit from having that right fielder back as well as that bat back.
I'd love to have Evan Carter's 450 on base percentage from the 23 postseason if I could, but not on the opening day roster, Sands. How confident are they that he'll be back to being that guy midsummer or something?
Yeah, I mean, I think, I'd probably be lying if I said, they felt like they had full confidence that, it's going to happen. But I think they are really confident. Here's the thing, Evan Carter's 22, and he's not going to turn 23 until late August. We talk about this a lot. If I told you Evan Carter was making his major league debut at 23 to start the 2026 season, you wouldn't bat an eye. There's nothing about that that's like, wow, he's behind schedule. He had an interesting trajectory. Usually when guys get hurt in the minor leagues, it puts their progression on pause through the system. But it didn't seem to really pause it for Evan Carter, because when he was healthy, the results were so impressive. And then there was a need in September of 23. But he really has such limited upper-level minor league experience. And I think the Rangers feel like it's not that he's got stuff to prove down there as much as he definitely could benefit from it. And here's the thing. He'll go down to Triple A. He'll lead off. He'll face lefties. He'll face righties. It doesn't matter. And I think while Chris Young was clear to say it's not just because of the lefty thing that he got sent down. I mean, he did not have a great camp. If there was a competition, which there was, he didn't win it. He didn't earn the spot. It's not like he was sprinting through the finish line. And I think because of some of the other factors, I think now's the time to do it. I think it is better to do it now than for him to struggle in April and then get sent down. And I think they're wanting to nip this in the bud now, give him some time to grow and develop, get a little bit of momentum, get some confidence in a lower pressure situation. I don't think that the Rangers, I'll say this, if before spring training, someone with the Rangers felt like Evan Carter was going to be a future multi-time All-Star, I don't think that what happened over spring training changes their thoughts. I think it might just delay the timeline in which he gets to that point. I think that they are lacking confidence in what the future might hold. And Gavin, to your point, I absolutely think that Chris Young would gamble that Evan Carter's going to end up spending more time on the big league roster than he will on the Round Rock roster. It's just a kind of a matter of when and how long an injury could expedite that, an injury to someone else, or, obviously if he busts down the doors with a good, 2, 3, 4 weeks to start up the season, then we might see him sooner than expected. But I do think that he had an interesting path to the big leagues, and I really think that he can benefit from this, especially facing lefties. I really think that it's going to be really beneficial for him in that regard.
Need some more season in there. Sands, before we let you go, we got to run, but is Josh Young going to be okay?
Yeah, I was told and checked in with him. I think he's going to be just fine for Thursday. I think it's precautionary, and so far, same for Corey Seager. So we'll wait on Thursday to find out, but I believe that both guys should be good to go.
Cheers, Jared. Have a good night.
See you, fellas.
He is at Jared Sandler on Twitter. He gets one day off tomorrow and then 200 straight days of baseball, probably. Maybe 220, something like that, if you make it.
Sign up for it.
I wonder how he celebrates.
Sign up for it.
Yeah. It must be quite a celebration, waking up when you have the realization that 6 months of nothing but America's pastime staring you in the face. Football's finest coming up. Football's finest coming up next, Chief. What are you taking?
That sounds so awful.
Hey, man, it's a long season. It's a long season. Battle of attrition. Walchuk versus Sims in a scout off. Plus Andrew Luck, a general manager, making big time moves next year in the nation.